eyes on a level with Camille's. Vampires didn't bruise. They healed too quickly for that. But her hair was matted with blood on the left side, which made him think she was telling the truth. "Let's say I believe you," he said. "What did she want with you?" "Nothing in what I know about Lilith says she has particular interest in vampires."
"You know why the cave was holding me," she said. "You would have heard."
"You killed 3 shadow hunters. Magnus said you claimed you were doing it because someone had ordered you to." He broke off.
"Lilith? If I tell you, will you help me?"
Camille's lower lip trembled. Her eyes were huge, green, pleading. She was very beautiful. Alec wondered if she had once looked at Magnus like this. It made him want to shake her.
"I might," he said,
astonished at the coldness in his own voice. "You don't have a lot of bargaining power here. I could go off and leave you for Lilith to have, and it wouldn't make much difference to me."
"Yes, it would," she said. Her voice was low. "Magnus loves you. He wouldn't love you if you were the sort of person who could abandon someone helpless."
"He loved you," Alec said. She gave a wistful smile.
"He appears to have learned better since then."
Alec rocked back on his heels slightly. "Look," he said, "tell me the truth. If you do, I'll cut you free and bring you to the Clave. They'll treat you better than Lilith would." She looked down at her wrists, chained to the pipe.
"The Clave chained me," she said. "Lilith chained me. I see little difference in my treatment between the two."
"I guess it's your choice, then. Trust me, or trust her," Alec said. It was a gamble, he knew. He waited for several tense moments before she said,
"Very well. If Magnus trusts you, I will trust you."
She raised her head, doing her best to look dignified despite torn clothing and bloody hair.
"Lilith came to me, not I to her. She had heard I was looking to recover my position as head of the Manhattan clan from Rafael Santiago. She said she would help me if I would help her."
"Help her by murdering shadow hunters?"
"She wanted their blood," said Camille. "It was for those babies. She was injecting shadow hunter blood and demon blood into the mothers, trying to replicate what Valentine did to his son. It didn't work, though. The babies became twisted things, and then they died."
Catching his revolted look, she said,
"I didn't know at first what she wanted the blood for. You may not think much of me, but I have no taste for murdering innocents."
"You didn't have to do it," said Alec, "just because she offered." Camille smiled tiredly.
"When you are as old as I am," she said, "it is because you have learned to play the game correctly, to make the right alliances at the right times, to ally yourself not just with the powerful, but with those who you believe will make you powerful. I know that if I did not agree to assist Lilith, she would kill me. Demons are not by nature trusting, and she would think I would go to the Clave with what I knew about her plans to kill shadow hunters, even if I promised her I would stay silent. I took a chance that Lilith was a greater danger to me than your kind were."
"And you didn't mind killing shadow hunters?"
"They were Circle members," said Camille. "They had killed my kind. And yours."
"And Simon Lewis? What was your interest in him?"
"Everyone wants the Daylighter on their side," Camille shrugged. "And I knew he had the Mark of Cain. One of Raphael's vampire underlings is still loyal to me. He passed on the information. Few other Downworlders know of it. It makes him an incalculably valuable ally."
"Is that what Lilith wants with him?" Camille's eyes widened. Her skin was very pale, and beneath it, Alec could see that her veins had darkened, the pattern of them beginning to spread across the whiteness of her face like winding cracks in china. Eventually, starving vampires became savage, then lost consciousness once they had been without blood for too long. The older they were, the longer they could stave it off, but Alec couldn't help but wonder how long it had been since she had fed.
"What do you mean?"
"Apparently she summoned Simon to meet with her," said Alec. "They're somewhere in the building."
Camille stared a moment longer, then laughed. A true irony, she said. She never mentioned him to me, and I never mentioned him to her. And yet both of us were pursuing him for our own ends. If she wants him, it's for his blood, she added. The ritual she's performing is most assuredly one of blood magic. His blood, mixed Downworlder and Shadowhunter blood, would be of great use to her. Alec felt a flicker of unease. But she can't hurt him, the Mark of Cain. She'll find a way around that, said Camille. She is Lilith, mother of warlocks. She's been alive a long time, Alexander. Alec got to his feet. Then I better find out what she's doing. Camille's chains rattled as she tried to rise to her knees.
Wait, but you said you would free me.
Alec turned and looked down at her. I didn't. I said I would let the Clave have you.
But if you leave me here, nothing prevents Lilith from finding me first.
She tossed her matted hair back. Lines of strain showed in her face.
Alexander, please, I beg you.
Whose will? Alec said. The words came out abruptly, unexpectedly, and much to his horror.
Will.
For a moment, her face was blank. Then it creased into a look of realization and near amusement.
You heard my conversation with Magnus.
Some of it? Alec exhaled carefully. Will is dead, isn't he? I mean, Magnus said it was a long time ago that he knew him.
I know what's bothering you, little Shadow Hunter.
Camille's voice had gone musical and soft. Behind her, through the windows, Alec could see the distant flickering lights of a plane as it flew over the city.
At first you were happy. You thought of the moment, not of the future. Now you have realized. You will grow old, and will someday die. And Magnus will not. He will continue. You will not grow old together. You will grow apart instead.
Alec thought of the people on the airplane, high up in the cold and icy air, looking down on the city like a field of glittering diamonds far below. Of course, he had never been in an airplane himself. He was only guessing at how it would feel. Lonely, distant, disconnected from the world.
You can't know that, he said. That we'll grow apart.
She smiled pityingly.
You're beautiful now, she said. But will you be in 20 years? In 40? 50? Will he love your blue eyes when they fade, your soft skin when age cuts deep furrows in it, your hands when they wrinkle and grow weak, your hair when it grows white?
Shut up! Alec heard the crack in his own voice and was ashamed. Just shut up. I don't want to hear it.
It doesn't have to be that way.
Camille leaned toward him, her green eyes luminous.
What if I told you that you didn't have to grow old, didn't have to die?
Alec felt a wave of rage. I'm not interested in becoming a vampire. Don't even bother making the offer. Not if the only other alternative was death. For the briefest of moments, her face twisted. It was gone in a flash as her control reasserted itself. She smiled. A thin smile, and said,
That wasn't my suggestion. What if I told you there was another way? Another way for the two of you to be together forever?
Alec swallowed. His mouth was as dry as paper.
Tell me, he said.
Camille raised her hands. Her chains rattled.
Cut these free.
No, tell me first. She shook her head.
I won't do that.
Her expression was as hard as marble, as was her voice.
You said I had nothing to bargain with, but I do, and I will not give it away.
Alec hesitated. In his head he heard Magnus's soft voice. She is a master of implication and manipulation. She always has been.
But Magnus, he thought, you never told me, never warned me it would be like this. That I would wake up one day and realize that I was going somewhere you couldn't follow. That we are essentially not the same. There's no till death do us part for those who never die.
He took a step toward Camille, and then another.
Raising his right arm, he brought the seraph blade down as hard as he could. It sheared through the metal of her chains. Her wrists sprang apart, still in their manacles, but free. She brought her hands up, her expression gloating, triumphant. "Alec?" Isabel spoke from the doorway. Alec turned and saw her standing there, her whip at her side. It was stained with blood, as were her hands and her silk dress.
"What are you doing in here?"
"Nothing, I..." Alec felt a wave of shame and horror. Almost without thinking, he moved a step in front of Camille, as if he could obscure her from his sister's view.
"They're all dead." Isabel sounded grim. "The cultists. We killed every one of them. Now come on. We have to start looking for Simon." She squinted at Alec.
"Are you okay? You look really pale."
"I cut her free," Alec blurted. "I shouldn't have. It's just..."
"Cut who free?"
Isabel took a step into the room. The ambient city light sparked off her dress, making her shine like a ghost.
"Alec, what are you blathering about?"
Her expression was blank, confused. Alec turned, following her gaze, and saw nothing. The pipe was still there, a length of chain lying beside it. The dust on the floor only very slightly disturbed. But Camille was gone. Clary barely had time to put her arms up before the hellhound collided with her, a cannonball of muscle and bone and hot, stinking breath. Her feet went out from under her. She remembered Jace telling her the best way to fall, how to protect yourself. But the advice flew from her mind and she hit the ground with her elbows, agony shooting through her as the skin tore. A moment later, the hound was on top of her, its paws crushing her chest, its gnarled tail swishing from side to side in a grotesque imitation of a wag. The tip of its tail was spiked with nail-like protrusions like a medieval mace, and a thick growl came from its barrel-chested body, so loud and strong that she could feel her bones vibrate.
"Hold her there! Tear her throat out if she tries to get away!"
Lilith snapped instructions as the second hellhound sprang at Jace. He was struggling with it, rolling over and over, a whirlwind of teeth and arms and legs and the vicious whipping tail. Painfully, Clary turned her head to the other side and saw Lilith striding toward the glass coffin and Simon, still lying in a heap beside it. Inside the coffin, Sebastian floated, as motionless as a drowned body. The milky color of the water had turned dark, probably with his blood. The hound, pinning her to the ground, snarled close to her ear. The sound sent a jolt of fear through her, and along with the fear, anger. Anger at Lilith and at herself. She was a shadow hunter. It was one thing to be taken down by a ravener demon when she never heard of the Nephilim. She had some training now. She ought to be able to do better. Anything can be a weapon. Jace had said that to her in the park. The weight of the hellhound was crushing. She made a gagging noise and reached for her throat, as if fighting for air. It barked and snarled, baring its teeth. Her fingers closed on the chain holding the Morgenstern ring around her neck. She yanked it, hard, and the chain snapped. She whipped it toward the dog's face, slashing the hound brutally across the eyes. The hound reared back, howling in pain, and Clary rolled to the side, scrambling to her knees. Bloody-eyed, the dog crouched, ready to spring. The necklace had fallen out of Clary's hand, the ring rolling away. She scrabbled for the chain as the dog leaped. A shining blade split the night, slashing down inches from Clary's face, severing the dog's head from its body. It gave a single howl and vanished, leaving behind a scorched black mark on the stone and the stench of demon in the air. Hands came down, lifted Clary gently to her feet. It was Jace. He had shoved the burning seraph blade through his belt, and he held her by both hands, gazing at her with a peculiar look. She couldn't have described it, or even drawn it. Hope, shock, love, yearning, and anger all mixed together in his expression. His shirt was torn in several places, soaked with blood. His jacket was gone, his fair hair matted with sweat and blood. For a moment, they simply stared at each other, his grip on her hands painfully tight. Then they both spoke at once. "Are you," she began, "Clary?" Still gripping her hands, he pushed her away from him, away from the circle, toward the walkway that led to the elevators. "Go," he said raggedly. "Get out of here, Clary." "Jace!" He took a shaking breath. "Please," he said, and then he let her go, drawing the Seraph blade from his belt as he turned back toward the circle.
"Get up," Lilith growled. "Get up." A hand shook Simon's shoulder, sending a wave of agony through his head. He had been floating in darkness. He opened his eyes now and saw night sky, stars, and Lilith's white face looming over him. Her eyes were gone, replaced by slithering black snakes. The shock of the sight was enough to propel Simon to his feet. The moment he was upright, he retched and nearly fell to his knees again. Shutting his eyes against the nausea, he heard Lilith snarl his name, and then her hand was on his arm, guiding him forward. He let her do it. His mouth was full of the nauseating, bitter taste of Sebastian's blood. It was spreading through his veins, too, making him sick, weak, and shivery down to his bones. His head felt like it weighed 1,000 pounds, and dizziness was advancing and receding in waves. Abruptly, Lilith's cold grip on his arm was gone. Simon opened his eyes and found that he was standing over the glass coffin, just as he had been before. Sebastian floated in the dark, milky liquid, his face smooth, no pulse in his neck. 2 dark holes were visible at the side of his throat where Simon had bitten him. "Give him your blood," Lilith's voice echoed, not aloud but inside his head. "Do it now." Simon looked up dizzily. His vision was fogging. He strained to see Clary and Jace through the encroaching darkness. "Use your fangs," said Lilith. "Tear your wrist open. Give Jonathan your blood. Heal him." Simon raised his wrist to his mouth. "Heal him." Raising someone from the dead was a lot more than healing them, he thought. Maybe Sebastian's hand would grow back. Maybe that's what she meant. He waited for his fangs to come, but they didn't. He was too sick to be hungry, he thought, and fought back the insane urge to laugh. "I can't," he said, half gasping. "I can't." "Lilith!" Jace's voice cut through the night. Lilith turned with an incredulous hiss. Simon lowered his wrist slowly, struggling to focus his eyes. He focused on the brightness in front of him, and it became the leaping flame of a Seraph blade, held in Jace's left hand. Simon could see him clearly now, a distinct image painted onto the darkness. His jacket was gone. He was filthy, his shirt torn and black with blood, but his eyes were clear and steady and focused. He no longer looked like a zombie or someone caught sleepwalking in a terrible dream. "Where is she?" Lilith said, her snake eyes slithering forward on their stalks. "Where is the girl?" "Clary." Simon's fogged gaze scanned the darkness around Jace, but she was nowhere to be seen. His vision was beginning to clear. He could see blood smearing the tiled ground, and bits of shredded, torn satin caught on sharp branches of a hedge. What looked like paw prints smeared the blood. Simon felt his chest tighten. He looked quickly back at Jace. Jace looked angry, very angry indeed, but not shattered the way Simon would have expected him to look if something had happened to Clary. So where was she? "She has nothing to do with this," Jace said. "You say I can't kill you, demoness. I say I can. Let's see which of us is right." Lilith moved so fast she was a blur. One moment she was beside Simon, the next she was on the step above Jace. She slashed out at him with her hand. He ducked, spinning behind her, whipping the Seraph blade across her shoulder. She screamed, whirling on him, blood arcing from her wound. It was a shimmering black color, like onyx. She brought her hands together as if she meant to smash the blade between them. They struck each other with a sound like a thunderclap, but Jace was already gone, several feet away, the light of the Seraph blade dancing in the air before him like the wink of a mocking eye. If it had been any other Shadow Hunter but Jace, Simon thought, he would have been dead already. He thought of Camille saying, "Men cannot contend with the divine." Shadow Hunters were human, despite their angel blood, and Lilith was more than a demon. Pain shot through Simon. With surprise, he realized his fangs had finally come out and were cutting into his lower lip. The pain and the taste of the blood roused him further. He began to rise to his feet, slowly, his eyes on Lilith. She certainly didn't appear to notice him or what he was doing. Her eyes were fixed on Jace. With another sudden snarl, she leaped for him. It was like watching moths flashing to and fro, watching the two of them as they battled back and forth across the rooftop. Even Simon's vampire vision had trouble keeping up as they moved, leaping over hedges, darting among the walkways. Lilith backed Jace up against the low wall that surrounded a sundial, the numbers on its face picked out in shining gold. Jace was moving so fast he was nearly a blur, the light of Michael whipping around Lilith as if she were being wrapped in a net of shining filaments. Anyone else would have been cut to ribbons in seconds, but Lilith moved like dark water, like smoke. She seemed to vanish and reappear at will, and though Jace was clearly not tiring, Simon could sense his frustration. Finally it happened. Jace swung the Seraph blade violently toward Lilith, and she caught it out of the air, her hand wrapping around the blade. Her hand was dripping black blood as she yanked the blade toward her. The drops, as they struck the ground, became tiny obsidian snakes that wiggled away into the underbrush. Taking the blade in both hands, she raised it. Blood was running down her pale wrists and forearms like streaks of tar. With a snarling grin, she snapped the blade in half. One half crumbled to a shining powder in her hands, while the other, the hilt and a jagged shard of blade, sputtered darkly, a flame half smothered by ash. Lilith smiled. "Poor little Michael," she said. "He was always weak." Jace was panting, his hands clenched at his sides, his hair pasted to his forehead with sweat. "You and your name dropping," he said. "I knew Michael. I knew Samael. The angel Gabriel did my hair. It's like I'm with the band with biblical figures." This was Jace being brave, Simon thought. Brave and snarky because he thought Lilith was going to kill him, and that was the way he wanted to go. Unafraid and on his feet. Like a warrior. The way shadow hunters did. His death song would always be this. Jokes and snideness and pretend arrogance. And that look in his eyes that said, "I'm better than you." Simon just hadn't realized it before. "Lilith," Jace went on, managing to make the word sound like a curse. "I studied you. In school. They've cursed you with barrenness. 1,000 babies and they all die. Isn't that the case?" Lilith held her darkly glowing blade, her face impassive. "Be careful, little shadow hunter." "Or what? Or you'll kill me?" Blood was dripping down Jace's face from the cut on his cheek. He made no move to wipe it away. "Go ahead." "No." Simon tried to take a step. His knees buckled and he fell, slamming his hands into the ground. He took a deep breath. He didn't need the oxygen, but it helped somehow, steadying him. He reached up and grabbed the edge of the stone pedestal, using it to pull himself upright. The back of his head was pounding. There was no way there would be enough time. All Lilith had to do was drive forward the jagged blade she held, but she didn't. Looking at Jace, she didn't move, and suddenly his eyes flashed, his mouth relaxing. "You can't kill me," he said, his voice rising. "What you said before. I'm the counterweight. I'm the only thing tethering him." He thrust out an arm, indicating Sebastian's glass coffin. "To this world. If I die, he dies. Isn't that true?" He took a step back. "I could jump off this roof right now," he said. "Kill myself. End this." For the first time, Lilith appeared truly agitated. Her head whipped from side to side, her serpent eyes quivering as if they were searching the wind. "Where is she? Where is the girl?" Jace wiped blood and sweat from his face and grinned at her. His lip was already split, and blood ran down his chin. "Forget it. I sent her back downstairs while you weren't paying attention. She's gone. Safe from you." Lilith snarled. "You lie." Jace took another step back. A few more steps would bring him to the low wall, the edge of the building. Jace could survive a lot, Simon knew. But a fall from a 40-story building might be too much even for him. "You forget," said Lilith. "I was there, Shadow Hunter. I watched you fall and die. I watched Valentine weep over your body. And then I watched as the angel asked Clarissa what she desired of him, what she wanted in the world more than she wanted anything else. And she said you, thinking you could be the only people in the world who could have their dead loved one back. and that there will be no consequences. That is what you thought, isn't it? Both of you. Fools. Lilith spat. You love each other. Anyone could see that looking at you. The kind of love that can burn down the world or raise it up in glory. No, she would never leave your side. Not while she thought you were in danger. Her head jerked back. Her hand shooting out. Fingers curved into claws. There. There was a scream, and one of the hedges seemed to tear apart, revealing Clary, who had been crouched, hiding in the middle of it. Kicking and clawing, she was dragged forward, her fingernails scraping the ground, seizing in vain for a purchase on something that she could grip. Her hands left bloody trails on the tiles. No! Jace started forward, then froze as Clary was whipped up into the air, where she hovered dangling in front of Lilith. She was barefoot, her satin dress now so torn and filthy it looked like red and black rather than gold. Swirling around her, one of her shoulder straps torn and dangling. Her hair had come completely out of its sparkling combs and spilled down over her shoulders, her green eyes fixed on Lilith with hatred. You bitch, she said. Jace's face was a mask of horror. He really had believed it when he said Clary had gone, Simon realized. He thought she was safe, but Lilith had been right, and she was gloating now, her snake eyes dancing as she moved her hands like a puppeteer, and Clary spun and gasped in the air. Lilith flicked her fingers, and what looked like the lash of a silver whip came down across Clary's body, slicing her dress open, and the skin under it. She screamed and clutched at the wound, and her blood pattered down on the tiles like scarlet rain. Clary! Jace whirled on Lilith. All right, he said. He was pale now, his bravado gone, his hands clenched into fists, were white at the knuckles. All right, let her go, and I'll do what you want. So will Simon. We'll let you...
Let me.
Somehow, the features of Lilith's face had rearranged themselves. Snakes wriggled in the sockets of her eyes. Her white skin was too stretched and shining, her mouth too wide. Her nose had nearly vanished.
You have no choice. And more to the point, you have annoyed me. All of you. Perhaps if you had simply done as I ordered, I would have let you go. You will never know now, will you?
Simon let go of the stone pedestal, swayed and steadied himself. Then he began to walk. Putting his feet down, one after the other, felt like heaving enormous bags of packed wet sand down the side of a cliff. Each time his foot hit the ground, it sent a stab of pain through his body. He concentrated on moving forward, one step at a time.
Maybe I can't kill you, Lilith said to Jace. But I can torture her past the point of endurance. Torture her to madness and make you watch. There are worse things than death, Shadowhunter.
She flicked her fingers again, and the silver whip came down, slashing across Clary's shoulder this time, opening up a wide gash. Clary buckled but didn't scream, jamming her hands into her mouth, curling in on herself as if she could protect herself from Lilith. Jay started forward to throw himself at Lilith and saw Simon. Their gazes met. For a moment the world seemed to hang in suspension, all of it. Not just Clary. Simon saw Lilith, all her attention focused on Clary, her hand drawn back, ready to deliver an even more vicious blow. Jace's face was white with anguish, his eyes darkening as they met Simon's, and he realized and understood. Jace stepped back. The world blurred around Simon. As he leaped forward, he realized two things. One, that it was impossible. He would never reach Lilith in time. Her hand was already whipping forward. The air in front of her was alive with whirling silver. And two, that he had never understood before quite how fast the vampire could move. He felt the muscles in his legs, his back tear, the bones in his feet and ankles crack. And he was there, sliding between Lilith and Clary as the demoness's hand came down. The long, razored silver wire struck him across the face and chest. There was a moment of shocking pain. And then the air seemed to burst apart around him like glittering confetti. And Simon heard Clary scream, a clear sound of shock and amazement that cut through the darkness.
Simon!
Lilith froze. She stared from Simon to Clary, still hanging in the air, and then down at her own hand, now empty. She drew in a long, ragged breath.
Sevenfold,
she whispered, and was abruptly cut off as a blinding incandescence lit up the night. Dazed, all Simon could think of was ants burning under the concentrated beam of a magnifying glass as a